B-Pod Studios.
Station. Sports Hub headlines.
The Bruins kicked off their road trip with a loss in Vancouver late last night, 2-1 in a shootout. Interim head coach Joe Sacco saw his team outshoot the Canucks 36-32 and still come up short.
Boston, for, you know, we talked about, he scored 43 recently in the G League, and this team, his minutes have went up. Felt like we were surprised by him.
Patrice Bergeron scored the only goal of the night for the Bruins. The road trip continues tonight in Edmonton. Judd Surratt and Bob Beers have the pregame at 8:30 and the faceoff at 9 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. In other NHL news, the city of Glendale has informed the Arizona Coyotes that unless they pay the money they owe in back taxes and arena fees, they're going to be locked out of their home arena starting December 20th. The franchise apparently owes close to $1.5 million. As for the Celtics, they were beaten last night at Staples Center 114-111 by the Clippers. Brandon Boston, 27 points off the bench for the winners. Jason Tatum, 29 for the Green. They're back at 500 for the season. They have tonight off. They'll visit Phoenix tomorrow night. And Patriots players were in Foxborough yesterday, but they have the rest of the week off for the bye. They visit Indianapolis a week from Saturday. Tonight, it's Pittsburgh at Minnesota. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. 99 Restaurant gift cards are the perfect gift. For every $25 you purchase, you get a $5 bonus card. The 99, always the real deal. I'm John Wallach of Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update at 8:30.
This is Patrice Bergeron.
Coming late to Bergeron. Shooting score!
On your home for Bruins hockey, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
They get you going. They get you going every day.
He looks worse than me. Way worse than me.
Toucher and Rich.
And I don't look good.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. You can watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv or the Twitch app. And just follow 98.5 The Sports Hub. Rich, what's going on?
So I saw this clip and somebody sent it to me. And before we play it, I just want to tell you that when I saw this, at first I didn't find it that shocking. And the reason is because it involves somebody who I have heard many people talk the way this woman talks. This is a lady who is an author. She's a religious author, and she was on this televangelist TV show. I think that like Jim Baker's son or somebody like that is the person who runs it. And the stuff she says here, it's interesting because, you know, I was born in New York and moved around because my dad's job, lived in Chicago a little bit, and ultimately for a while we lived in Atlanta. And when we went down there, it was fairly unsettling that there were a decent amount of people who spoke about having visions, seeing things. As a matter of fact, the amount of people who, my wife was taken to an exorcist when she was a little girl because they thought she had demons in her. Mm. And she said it was one of the more unsettling things that she's ever had to see is a grown man trying to get a demon out of her. On top of that,
did they know why they thought there was a demon in her?
Probably because she didn't do her math right or something. I don't know. And I don't
did
think
it work?
She knows. Well, of course. I mean, look at her now. She's, yeah. You know,
she got you.
She got me. So obviously she's doing something right. So this is an interview from this lady. She's sitting next to two gentlemen. One is the host, and we don't really know who the man in the middle is. And she is telling a little bit of a story about something that happened in her life.
After Derek and I got married, one night, this other Derek appears in our bed. The real Derek is lying down next to me. Other Derek sits right up out of him. It startled me. I knew that was not Derek. And so I asked this critter, "Who are you?" Because he clearly wanted to have sexual relations. And I said, and he said, "Come on, I'm your husband." I said, "Who are you?" And he had the nerve to claim to be Ahasuerus, Xerxes.
Mm. The nerve.
Dude was horny.
Dehoxeris, Xerxes.
I am the key master.
Mm.
Are you the gatekeeper?
Where's Ghost?
That is from Ghostbusters. Now, this guy had the nerve to say, I'm Xerxes. And at this point, I'm saying, I know Xerxes, and you ain't no Xerxes. This is where it got weird. So is this guy supposed to look like her husband?
Well, she's saying that some type of being took over her husband's body.
Oh, so because she says she saw her husband. I'm unfamiliar with this line of thinking.
Yeah.
So the husband's still... Okay, because my impression was the husband's still laying there in bed.
Okay.
And here's this other gentleman.
See, I was kind of reading it more into that the husband is got up and...
Let's figure this out. I'm going back to the beginning.
Okay.
There's a lot to unpack here. Sure. I'm unfamiliar with Xerxes.
Now, remember, there's three people. It's this woman, it's the host on the left, and then there's this guy who's in the middle, and nobody really knows who he is.
Right. Okay. All right. So Xerxes, I don't know. Let's explore what's going on.
After Derek and I got married, one night, this other Derek appears in our bed. The real Derek is lying down next to me. Other Derek sits right up out of him. It startled me. I knew that was not Derek. And so I asked this critter, who are you? Because he clearly wanted to have sexual relations. And he said, come on, I'm your husband. I said, who are you? And he had the nerve to claim to be Ahasuerus, Xerxes. Well, other Derek seriously wanted to invite me to use my free will to do something that was going to pull me away from God. So this last time, I knew he was really desperate. And I asked him again, who are you? He told me the same answer, and I said, I am not going with you. This was an internal dialogue. Finally, I said, I've had enough in my mind. I reached up, I grabbed his face, and I said, you are a liar, and Jesus is real. And I pulled that face off, and beneath it was a reptile. And he had little creatures with him this time. He brought these little halfling creatures, and they looked like, I don't know, gargoyles. They were very reptilian as well. So beneath that...
Try to make a deal for a fiddle against your soul?
Yeah, that's when I really
when
had
the demon band joined in?
That's when he looked exactly like Steve Vai. And I had to sit there and grab my axe and say, not so fast, I'm playing the blues.
Someone said, was this a Steve Urkel Stefan situation?
I think she just watched Ghostbusters and had a nightmare.
It's amazing how people have been able to illustrate just how these things look. Like, the person who, like, first, like drew a gargoyle, like, well, there it is. I mean, yeah. I mean, this is who's going to attack you, is these gargoyles.
Right. Yeah. And then I grabbed his head, and my husband went, yes.
It's reptile.
Exactly.
Well, maybe
now you get it.
It was reptilian, and it turned out it was my son with his iguana, very stoned, and wandered into the room.
Asked me to do something that would take me away from God.
Yeah, I know what that means. Mm-hmm. He wanted to use everything. He wanted no doors shut. That's what he wanted.
So what you're saying is, it had been a while, and he decided that, you know...
No, he wanted
the devil's entrance.
Yeah. He wanted to spice things up in an unnatural way.
Sure. She reached up and clawed his eyes out.
What do you think that demon tail comes out of?
Yeah.
It's the demon's entrance.
But I like how all of this is an internal internal dialogue she's having. Again, not schizophrenic at all.
No.
You're having an internal dialogue with a reptilian beast.
So much better. This is the exact plot of Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
Jug Band Christmas. It's otherwise called Suicide. Hey, everybody, it's a Jug Band Christmas. I'll take that gun.
Evan Archer is one of the most depressing Christmas specials ever. And by the way,
well, if it involves a jug band, I would assume that.
But it's puppets in a jug band. So yeah, it makes it 10 times worse. And by the way, the Riverbottom Nightmare Band kicked their ass all over the place in the talent show. Don't tell me otherwise.
Nah. Just like Steve Vai beat a young Karate Kid in that Crossroads.
Oh, Crossroads, there's no question.
I mean, Steve Vai was shredding away, and then he just...
They were very reptilian as well. So beneath that face of Derek was a reptilian serpentine creature, probably similar to what was visiting the Anasazi.
Wow.
Well, the Bible says...
Okay, so what's so great that I learned about that clip is that, you know, I told you there was the host on the left, there was the woman on the right, and there was a random gentleman with a goatee in the middle. That gentleman is her husband. And she's on TV.
Sorry.
Listen, you know, you get a couple of those, what was the thing? A couple of candy apple mojitos?
Yeah.
You go to Applebee's and you get, you know, one too many of those bright blue drinks in me.
It was fancy-like.
Sure.
Yeah. That one's... Sometimes the religious nuttery gets so crazy, I don't even know what they're talking about.
Okay, well, Fred, I have had somebody tell me... Well, first of all, people saying that they hear voices all the time is a normal thing.
Well, like that's a mental illness.
Well, maybe it is, but I mean... On top of that, I've had people tell me that they saw somebody whose feet were in flames and they were on... I don't think you would like that, DA.
No, no, I think
Rex Ryan
be on you.
What? Yeah. The feet were in flames? Had they been bad?
And people like looking at you right in the eye and like nodding their head as if this is something that truly happened. And I remember one time someone told me that and I laughed at them. I just started laughing. I was like, you didn't see someone's feet on fire. Mm-hmm. They did not expect that.
They didn't expect you to laugh at them. They expected you to accept that as...
No, because usually around, you know, their group of peers, well, everyone would just go, reptile face, absolutely. Demon band behind them, you're grabbing your head. You know,
I would turn my attention to the Son of Sam. I mean, it's not always to great results when...
And then my dog started speaking to
me. Yeah, when things start speaking to you that are not you're not actually having conversations with... That can be a sign that something's going a little haywire up there in the old brain of Roo.
So he said, and then Kyle Van Noy emerged from the closet to protect me from the boogeyman.
I'm back. All right. Well, and Derek just had to sit there and take it?
Yeah. And I didn't even know.
Was his face still attached?
Well, no. I mean, it was his super sweet goatee. Of course it was.
Well, the goatee, of course, the Van Dyke, is the symbol of Satanism. When you have both the mustache and the goatee. Is he the dude with the ponytail?
No, the dude with the ponytail is the host. The guy in the middle, that right there is her husband.
You know the dude in the ponytail, like, on the weekends is playing, like, he's playing, like, Captain Alehouse's yacht club night.
Captain Alehouse?
Yeah, you know, he's just like, what do you want to, I mean, we play songs by Foghat and OAR. All right. Well, listen. I don't quite know what happened in that clip. But I'm glad it didn't happen to me. Because if it did, I would be in the loony bin.
Yeah. That is, I don't even know if there's anything like that type of culture anywhere within New England. I don't know if I can. Is there maybe in somewhere in New Hampshire, are there people who speak this way regularly? Because this isn't crazy down south. Like, there are people who, like, go to, like, in these groups, they'll just talk to each other about how, you know, demons came into their room and they've spoken with, you know, that, and there's exorcisms,
like,
and all.
How uninteresting does your life have to be, like, when your stories are, like, oh, yeah, like, goblins were all over the place. Like go bowling or something. Like, get good at bowling. Then you can, like, go, like, hey, I bowled a 270.
Sure.
And then everyone goes, oh, that's nice.
Yeah, and there was a reptile over a
2 No, over. No, but if you got to make up reptiles and goblins and everything else, I mean, you're really stretching for a story. You know, travel. Go out to Myrtle Beach and see the Blues Brothers Jamboree. I mean, do something that actually exists in reality. All right, Dave Richard lives in fantasy, but not the kind of fantasy with goblins and gargoyles, no. Mm-hmm. Fantasy football, and this might be your last week of your regular season. You might be competing for a playoff spot.
Hail Mary time. And I know with a lot of people locally who have Patriots on their fantasy team with that bye week, it is time to take a shot.
Yep. All right. So we will get to all the people who still might be out there on waivers. We'll have that for you coming right up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Toucher and Rich.
That's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, good news to fantasy owners. Looks like Dalvin Cook will be playing tonight against the Steelers. We'll double-check with Dave Richard, who's the senior fantasy writer for CBSSports.com. He's brought to you by the Mohegan Sun FanDuel Sportsbook. Dave joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Dave, hello.
This is exciting and also very frustrating news for fantasy managers, Fred, because Dalvin Cook was, I mean, we know to start him when he's active and expected to play, but Alexander Mattison was getting all the work. He was getting like 25 touches per game without Dalvin Cook there. Now, is there going to be a split? Will there be a snap count on Dalvin Cook? These are a lot of questions that we're just not going to know the answer to.
With the way
the timing kind of sucks.
I don't know. The Vikings lost to the Lions last week, and I have a feeling they're just going to go, Dalvin, do what you can. We're taking the governor off. We're going to see what you can do.
Well, who knows? I mean, it's crazy. He dislocated his shoulder and, yeah, it hasn't even been 2 weeks since he's been out, so they must be desperate, really, really desperate.
Well, I would say
to get a win.
I'd say Zimmer is very, very desperate. I mean,
yeah, sure.
He lost to a team that went for it on 4th-and-2 from their own 20, so he's very desperate.
And he's winless, obviously.
Yes, absolutely. All right, so if you're looking for receivers, if you're down to the bottom of the barrel in receivers and running backs. First of all, I'll tell you, do you like Williams in Kansas City or Hilliard from Tennessee if you have to put one in flex?
If you had to put one in the flex, I think I would take Williams over Hilliard just because I think Deontay Foreman is going to be the main guy in Tennessee. And Jeremy McNichols was expected back. He was the passing downs guy before he got concussed, and Hilliard kind of took over that role. It could be an ugly three-headed mess, but I think Foreman's the one that'll end up playing the majority of the snaps.
All right, and what about receivers that are out there? Because some of us are stuck with Westbrook, Akeen, and Callaway as our two of our starting receivers.
Right, so you should be able to move on from Callaway just because you can't trust his quarterback anymore. That's an easy one. And then Westbrook might not get a ton of work anyway. It's Jacksonville. The Titans should be able to run the ball. But the cursory names, the guys that we should just go through anyway just to make sure that we cover all the bases, they're still available in a decent amount of leagues. Julio Jones was out there earlier in the weekend, like 40% of leagues. Russell Gage is a PPR magnet. Devontae Parker, rostered in the majority of leagues, those three guys. But what about Marquez Valdez-Scantling with the Packers? 19 targets in his last two games. He's still available in like half of CBS Sports leagues. Gabriel Davis could get a good opportunity with Buffalo. You know, Emmanuel Sanders has done next to nothing over the last, I'd say, 2 months. So Davis is someone who could step up and take his place in a matchup where the Bills are going to have to throw a lot. It should be a good game for Josh Allen, and Davis has started to look more like a playmaker. If you're still stuck after that, you can look at the Chargers situation. We know that Keenan Allen not expected to play. Mike Williams might not play. Jalen Guyton, Josh Palmer, earlier this week they were available in literally every single league. I like Guyton better than Palmer, but if those two star receivers are out for the Chargers, I like both of those other guys as at least sleepers, as at least dart throws, Guyton more so than Palmer.
Okay, Dave, so for a lot of people, especially in this region, it is a 1-2 punch to the gut this week because, you know, for many people, this is the last regular season game, so they're going to need some Hail Marys. On top of that, you know how it is. There's always what proximity bias when people make their fantasy teams. And here there's a lot of people who have Patriots and on a bye week. What are some Hail Marys that these guys can do if they are sitting right on the outside looking in and they have to make a desperate attempt to try to make the playoffs this week? Who is out there that is high risk, high reward this week?
Okay, so there, as far as high risk and high reward, I probably went over those names at wide receiver. The Chargers receivers definitely stand out to me. Gabriel Davis is another one of those guys that's high risk and high reward. At tight end, Austin Hooper could end up being a guy who's startable. We know that David Njoku's on the COVID list, and Harrison Bryant is a little beat up too for the Browns. And that secondary for the Ravens is really, really messed up. So there are going to be opportunities for Austin Hooper to get some targets and to do some things with them. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of whether or not he can come through for a touchdown. That's really the name of the game. Or if Baker Mayfield decides to throw at him like 8 times and he gets 6 catches, that would help you out in the PPR league. Let's talk about those running backs. Jermichael Hasty could end up being the lead running back for the 49ers. He's still out there in a ton of leagues. Rashad Penny. Okay, if you want to talk, Rich, about high risk, high reward.
Mm-hmm.
Rashad Penny is the best running back that Seattle has left standing, and he's taking on the Texans. They're one of the worst run defenses in football. But the Seahawks use multiple running backs, including Adrian Peterson at the goal line and a guy named Travis Homer in passing down situations. So Penny could end up getting, he had 40% of the snaps last week. He looked okay on about 10 carries. If he gets the same amount of work this week, maybe he gets you to 5 or 6 non-PPR fantasy points. But he is the definition of high risk and high reward. He would be ahead of someone like Amir Abdullah for me. Abdullah, the passing downs back for the Panthers. He'd end up playing a lot if the Panthers fall behind against the Falcons. But I don't know if that's necessarily going to happen. But he's the one that's going to catch a couple of passes from Cam Newton.
Is this one of the most injury-riddled years that you can remember as far as big stars going down throughout the season? Or is this just because every year we probably think this at the end of the season? Or is this one, does it seem like there's more this year than others?
It's close, but I think it was 2015. The great old year of 2015, where like a ton of running back, literally every running back got hurt. It was crazy. And the year after, everybody was drafting wide receivers in rounds 1 and 2, and they fell on their faces, and running backs were dominant again. The one thing that I will say, Rich, is that there are a lot of injuries this year, no doubt about it. But COVID is also here, and that's taking guys like Keenan Allen this week off the field. He's fine. He's healthy. He would normally be ready to play, but because he's got a virus, he's got to keep it. He's got to sit out for a while. And I shouldn't say virus like it's nothing. We don't know how serious it is, but we do know that he can't play and shouldn't be around other people when he's ill like this. And the Chargers are being smart, and the NFL protocol is smart about it.
You like Williams from Kansas City over Ertz as a flex?
Yeah, that one's going to be a closer call. I do think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think I'll probably lean toward Ertz there over Darrell Williams. I think he's got a higher ceiling.
Okay.
Now, if you're asking me these questions, Fred, that means you're in the playoff hunt still.
I am.
Seven or 7-6?
I am. I lost last week. I had a lot of. Six and seven.
Okay, but you're in it, right?
Yeah.
And that's the other weird storyline from fantasy this year, Rich. I know you brought up the injuries, but I'm every league I'm in, there's like half the league is 6-7, 7-6, and they're fighting for like multiple playoff spots. It's competitive balance in fantasy football.
This is also a weird year in that it happens to be in the leagues that I've seen. There's like in one of the leagues, there's a dude who has like way more, like just blowing away everyone in points, but he's in 7th place. That has a lot to do with obviously the injuries and everything else. It's just been very, very strange, Dave Richard, all around.
Yeah, absolutely.
See, I went Crowder on you. When you were giving me names, I picked up Jamison Crowder.
Okay, and it's past PPR, your league, right?
Yeah.
You'll get credit for that, and Corey Davis is donezo for the year, so hopefully that'll – and Zach Wilson's playing better for the Jets.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I got to go with what I know, my friend. I got to know with what – I got to go for what I want to know. Which is exactly. You got to go for – but Elijah Moore has carried me this far. So, I mean
– He's been outstanding, and since he came back from the injury, you were literally the first person to really bring him up.
Yes, of course. I was literally. No, you had no idea who he was. I was the one who completely did. There was no hype coming out of the draft about him at all.
All right. Not from me.
All right. So the Baltimore offense, is that going to write itself or writing them off?
Your guess is as good as mine. The problem is that Lamar Jackson has really looked flustered since that game against Miami that we all saw on Thursday night where they just blitzed the snot out of him. He really hasn't been the same guy. Maybe he's rushing a little bit, stressing a little bit. That run game definitely needs to get going against the Browns. I would imagine it's going to be another competitive game between those two teams. Jackson's still got to be in starting lineups, and he's still a top 10 fantasy quarterback, but I would trust Russell Wilson ahead of him this week. I think Wilson against the Texans, especially with that uneven run game that the Seahawks have, I bet Wilson's got to do a lot of the work this week, and he'll end up having a good game.
All right. Well, listen, Dave, I see people reach out to you on Twitter at Dave Richard, and they can read you about everything you have to say at CBSSports.com. Thank you so much for the time, sir. We appreciate it.
You got it, Fred. I look forward to talking to you next week and hearing about that 7-7 team that made the playoffs.
Oh, that would be nice. All right. Thank you, Dave. We appreciate it.
You got it. Be good.
All right. There you go. I had to trump him. I had to go, all right, I got it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you are the owner of the team. It's an executive decision.
Yeah.
You know your roster better than anybody else.
He rattles off those receiver names so fast, I can't keep up.
Right.
It's insane the amount of stuff he's got in his head.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because he ranks, like, every player, and then he's got the rankings in front of him, and he just, like, it's blah, 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 and I'm like, I can't keep up. Like, who knows how to spell these names?
You know how many people probably locally had Kendrick Bourne, you know, Aguilar, all those guys this past week.
Yep.
On a fairly important week for a lot of people, and just goose egg after goose egg.
Well,
after
I had so many injuries and everything that I had to start Bourne in that hurricane where they threw the ball three times. So,
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So, I mean, I had to start him, but he performed 1 week for me, at two touchdowns for me 1 week.
Yep.
I had him for 2 weeks. So he did me right once and he failed me once. All right. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Talking about the game is no game.
You were listening. You were enjoying the talk.
Toucher and Rich.
That's wordplay, my friends.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You look at this defense right now. They are number one in the NFL, number three in yards allowed, number three against the pass. So you got an elite defense. Not only are you winning football games, but you're being led by an elite defense. And your signature, the signature to your greatness, is what you can do as a defensive-minded coach, if you're Bill Belichick. Then when you combine that with the fact that you're doing it with a rookie quarterback, it lends itself towards blowing up and augmenting your system in the mind's eye as opposed to the talent. Because you're validating, okay, yes, Tom Brady is great. Tom Brady is a 7-time Super Bowl champion. But there was nothing wrong with me wanting to move on from him years earlier because I had the long view. Even though Tom Brady still had years left in him, I'm talking about the next decade and a half to potentially 2 decades. I was looking down the line.
Always, always ask. I'm a bootlegged hitman to the court.
Yeah, they win the Super Bowl this year. He's right. They don't. Wrong.
I'm a bottom team.
Well, I mean, they can make it to the Super Bowl.
Also, got to see how this quarterback turns out. A lot of stuff still to be figured out. Mm-hmm. We are as a show going to the big casino on Friday, and you were talking about playing craps. The last time I played craps, my wife and I were visiting Grand Bahama Island where we got married. It was before we were to be married. And I got some guy yelling at me at the craps table. I can't remember what I did wrong. I was by myself.
The only thing that you can do wrong at a craps table that gets people to yell at you is if you pick up the dice and you take them off of, like, actually out of the table itself. That's the only thing that anyone, if it's just you're making dumb bets or something like that, or maybe you're throwing the dice and it keeps going off the table, that's it. I hate, like, casino hardos.
Well, the story with this I've told before is the guy was like yelling at me, and I got into it with him, and I was yelling back at him, and then whatever, that went away, and then I was flying first class on AirTran.
Oh, and there he was.
Back to Atlanta.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there in first class, and here comes this guy onto the plane just starts screaming and yelling at me on the plane, which is a situation you want to defuse immediately. You're like, I don't want to be stuck in Grand Bahama Island on a no-fly list. I have no idea how the hell I'm going to get home. like, sit down. Okay, sit down. My bad. Sit down.
Didn't the last time we go there, somebody get yelled at a table for, like, making bad decisions?
That was Joe, wasn't it?
No, that was actually at your kind of bachelor party that we had, that where you guys ended up going and doing that. So I hate those people. And a matter of fact, they entertain me. If someone starts getting mad at me because, you know, I'm hitting on something I'm not supposed to hit on or standing or whatever like that, it's like, F you. Who cares? I actually laugh at them.
See, I know how to play blackjack. Craps is just a whole thing that I don't understand. There's too many numbers.
Fred Craps
is... That's just it. It's a great rush. I have a lot of fun, but I know maybe 40% of it and I lose money instantly.
That's all you need. Craps is essentially like 15 games going on at the same time.
That's right.
And all you have to do is know how to play one of them. And that is the pass line. Like, if you just want to stay there and have a good time and do that, you could just make the same bet over. It is boring. But then what you do is you stay there and you start to learn the other games while you're staying there. But it's not intimidating. There's really only one game that you got to know when you get there, and that's the pass line. After that, you can figure everything out. And at least
But then if you play it wrong, then you're betting against the guy rolling the dice, and then
you're a jerk. You're not betting against the guy rolling the dice. Why should he care? It's not like you're going to put any voodoo into the world.
Because the idea is that you want a hot table and you want the guy rolling to be hot. So if you're betting against him, that can piss people off. There's a lot of things out there with craps I don't like. There's too much opportunity for mischief.
All of a sudden you got a lot of money on the table. The guy rolls a seven and it's all gone.
Plus you got to get those weird low inexpensive chips.
The $10 yo. I have no idea about any of this. I know. I have no idea with the horn bet. I have no clue.
No, and nor do I care to learn. There's too much pressure.
But that's one game where your money goes further. Like, usually,
if you stand there like you do, it does go further. But if you're an idiot like me, it doesn't last very long at all.
I actually now place other bets. It's not just the pass line, but when I first started playing it was a simple way to get your free drinks, you know, and make it last a little bit longer. Yeah. Roulette is too, but I mean, roulette's whatever. Blackjack's one of those, though, where it's just your money can go so fast. And especially when the minimums are super high.
Even getting them to exchange the chips, because ultimately, if you've been playing blackjack, you have much higher value chips than you want to play playing craps. So even the process of putting the chips down to get the lower grade chips is a whole orchestration of when do I do this and da 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 da.
Yeah, right.
Because I've been yelled at for that, too. Like putting chips on the table, like to the dealer to get them exchanged. And at the casino, you don't want anyone to think you don't know what you're doing. You want to look cool.
Sure, yes.
So, you know, and then you're like, hey, throw the chips down.
Perhaps you'd like our lower stakes table.
That's exactly. And it's like, throw down the chips. No, not now. Oh, okay. And then you got to leave because then you can't sit there, stand around. Everyone knows you're a bozo.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really just, there's not many, there's just a couple simple rules to not look like an idiot at a casino. And when it comes to the blackjack table, it's put the money on the table and don't hand it to them. Just put it down on the table.
Have some idea how to play blackjack. I mean, you can get a blackjack simulator on your phone and play, you know, for a half an hour and then learn the game. I mean, learn the odds and what to do. It takes a half an hour to learn the game. And learn when to split and learn when to double and all that stuff. But craps, there's no simulation that I've found that that avoids conflict. And with the element at the encore, what I'm being told, I don't need any of them mad at me.
Well, the only thing that I wish craps had, and this is the lazy ass in me, is I want to sit down and play craps.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point, if you're standing for an hour, that is one thing that I will give roulette. Like roulette, you can actually sit in a chair and just set up shop. And it does take a while. Because, you know, every spin of the wheel, it's probably, 3 minutes between each roll? So you're sitting there able to put your chips out there, you get your drink, you're sitting down. Craps, after a while, you're just like, dude, I've been drinking too much and my knees are hurting.
Roulette is designed at the end of the night in Vegas for just like, take my money back. Like, I got a little hot playing blackjack here.
Every game?
Here, yeah, just take it all back. Like, I'm going to make a bunch of really stupid bets.
Yeah.
Like,
and there's always a guy, I have a friend like this, there's always a guy with a system. There's always a guy.
There's no system
with
to roulette.
With a roulette system. No, he's convinced that he has one. He maybe breaks even and it's a good night.
Oh, everyone thinks that, because if roulette, you don't get in trouble.
You know,
roulette,
he looks up, he's like, all right, it's odd numbers here in red and black, which means you have to bet double zero.
Yeah, because see people like, and they're just so confident with what they're doing at the roulette table. They're very confident with what they're doing.
I love that. It's like, wow, they've hit black four times in a row. It means it's going to be red. No, it's still the same chance it's going to hit black. Roll, it's the exact same chance it's going to go one way or the other. I'll tell you, the one thing that
you talk to my friend, he'd argue to the death.
Well, the one thing that will keep you from going insane is that if you've got numbers, stick with them, because the minute you change them, your number's going to hit, and that will drive you absolutely insane. I don't care. Go down with the ship. Go down swinging. Just keep hitting the same numbers over and over again, and don't just avoid some sort of emotional breakdown.
Yeah, we'll see. I would like to play blackjack, but we'll see what it's like. We'll see what the tables are like.
I can't wait, though. It's going to be fun.
Is tomorrow the night you were talking about during the pandemic? Where you're just going to... Tomorrow is the night where you're just going to cut... Because that's all... Fred, you remember this. All he talked about... I'll know when the pandemic is over when I show up at casino, sit down, and play blackjack for 5 hours. Yeah. Is that tomorrow night?
You know what? I kind of had a little bit of that when I was in Vegas about a month ago. But this is going to be even better because I'm going to be with you guys. I'm not going to care what time I come home. It's one of those things where I'm all in tomorrow night.
So tomorrow night could be the night.
Yeah, tomorrow night's the night.
All right.
Tomorrow night, I've honestly been looking forward to it more than I probably should.
You're getting there early, aren't you?
No. Right. I'm getting there on time so I can leave late.
I see. Fair enough.
That I got to coach a girls' basketball game early in the morning.
I got nothing Saturday morning. Yeah, nothing. I'm going to be Nick Jamelli passed out next to a trash can.
That I would like to see. It's been a while. Yeah. It's been since you were at Cask that you've been passed out.
The fact of the matter is, I don't really get that drunk anymore. I mean, not that I get drunk, it's that I can handle myself pretty well.
No. I mean, you're pretty out of control if you're passing out in public.
I haven't done that in, as you said, since the Cask, and that was righteous. But then again, that's when we had that stupid thing.
Yeah.
Where we all drew straws to see who would take the, because the listeners would always want to buy us shots. And we were like, you know what? So we all don't do it. Let's just draw straws to see who ends up taking the shots. And the first one we did is I drew the short straw. I'm like, all right, it's me. And I don't even want to say the amount that I took because it's embarrassing. But I was weakened at Bernie's out of the Casket Flagon later on that night. And funny to say, after that appearance, we didn't do that shot straw drawing anymore.
No, we did not.
It was the one and only time.
All right. Did you guys do any of this Hallmark quiz for John?
The Hallmark quiz?
We were going to do a Hallmark movie quiz for John.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah.
All right. Well, I have one. Do you want me to do it?
Okay.
I have a real one and I have a fake one.
Okay.
All right. One real plot line, one fake plot line.
Yes. Because if you don't know, John has, I just looked at my emails and I just saw that I had indeed written one and I have one that's real.
All right.
All right, John's wife, even though John is born Jewish, he is circumcised. He is, his mother is Jewish. He is by all facets a Jew. He has, his wife has made him turn him back on his religion. She starts these Hallmark movies.
Mm-hmm. October 27th. TV's been on ever since.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, so you have to tell me, I have a real one and a fake one.
Okay, so I have to tell you which is which.
Okay, so this is the plot of a Hallmark Christmas movie.
And the title.
Okay.
All right.
And the title.
All right.
Okay, tell me.
I'll see what I can do about the title. Wait, go ahead. Yeah.
This one's called Santa Baby.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
Cindy is a successful advertising executive who is a drunken one-night stand at a Christmas party in her adopted hometown of Houston.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
Finding out that she is pregnant, Cindy reluctantly visits her family in Maine to celebrate Christmas and to get an abortion.
Whoa.
On the way into the abortion clinic, Cindy slips on a patch of ice and ends up unconscious. In the hospital, she is tended to by Frank, a doctor who teaches Cindy that life starts at conception. They fall in love.
All right.
I'm going to say now, the plot twists you've given me based on the movies I've seen are pretty bizarre. They're a lot like that. Santa Baby is certainly, you know, that's boilerplate for movies like that. But I'm going to say there are one too many plot twists, and that is a fake plot.
Can I guess? I want to say that that is not a Hallmark Christmas movie, but that is something by the producers of such Kirk Cameron classics as Surviving Christmas and Fireproof.
I do not think that is a Hallmark movie.
I have made that up.
Yes.
No. And then my
that
other
was
one
too many.
Because there is a movie called Santa Baby. I think Jenny McCarthy was in it.
That's you know what? I think you're right about that. But, you know, Fred, there are movie plot twists. The movies that I've seen, there are plot twists a lot like that. But I
you don't think they would tackle abortion?
No, I don't think so. There are people that visit their families in Maine and discover the true meaning of Christmas again. Oh, there's plenty of that.
I was going to, and then I had another idea for one that I did not write, just called Santa's Shoes. About a foot fetishist.
A New York DJ.
About a foot fetishist.
Teams up with an ex-New York football
coach. It was going to be about a foot fetishist who finds love in a Foot Locker.
Yeah, usually when these Christmas movies, you go to remote locations. There's one where
I thought it was ripped from the headlines.
No, in Texas,
where they're looking to ban abortion.
No, that's good.
All right, Dan. So you said you found the actual Santa Baby.
This wonderful 2005 classic with Jenny McCarthy, George Wendt, and Ivan Sergei.
By the way, did you know that Ted Lasso? What's the actor's name? Who plays Ted Lasso?
Jason
Sudeikis.
Yeah, Sudeikis.
Did you know that Norm is his uncle?
No.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Norm from Cheers is Jason Sudeikis, is Ted Lasso's uncle.
No idea.
I watched some interview with him about his time at Saturday Night Live, and he was saying that, my uncle one time, I was like hosted or something like that, and weird. I had no idea. All right, so I'm sorry to continue.
Okay, so the synopsis says Mary is a high-powered businesswoman with her own marketing firm.
Oh, well, too busy for love.
Yeah, right.
Always too busy for love.
That's right, sure.
So right away, here comes the plot twist. As well as secretly being the daughter of Santa Claus.
Oh, I've seen this one. I have.
Her father falls ill right near Christmas.
Yes.
So Santa falls ill near Christmas.
Yep.
She is forced to return to the North Pole.
And you know what?
That's never been done.
Now, when she shows up,
Fred Claus or the Santa Claus.
And business techniques saved the day.
I know. But at the beginning, you know, she has to feel her way around. You know, she's not immediately accepted. Who's this interloper? She left. She doesn't know what she's doing.
Right.
She didn't stay true to the family business. So there's some walls she has to break down before the marketing. And then they realize her marketing talent, and all the elves fall in love with her. Go,
as well as her lost love, Luke.
Right.
So who in the North Pole is being a bitch to her? I don't like your ways.
You don't know the true meaning of Christmas.
In Fred Claus, there's an auditor that comes in. And then in the Santa Claus, he gets fed up with... I mean, that is ripe for a lawsuit, copyright lawsuit. That is a story that has been ripped from the headlines.
And now there's a Santa Baby 2 I'm seeing here. Is that one where
the sequel?
She denies.
She grows a beard and can't shave it off. It keeps growing back.
Right. She refuses all the elves to get the MMR vaccine. And is that what Jenny McCarthy does in this one?
No, she just says...
Christmas Maybe was the subtitle of
Christmas
that, Rich.
Christmas Maybe You Might Live Past 3?
Yeah, she says, Loop is for everyone. She says, meningitis for everyone.
I bet you anything there was a conversation where Jenny was like, no, you know, this wouldn't be true. And the producer was like, shut up.
Yeah, in the North Pole, there are no vaccines.
That's right.
All right. Well, there you go. Christmas.
Fred, what was the real one that you came up with to try and trick John?
I didn't.
Oh, you did? Oh, so it's just the fake.
I just had the fake.
Okay.
And then I was thinking of one called Santa's Shoes about a foot fetishist, but then I thought of all the trouble we got into for naughty Maseratis, and I didn't know how to get him into the situation.
I guarantee you, and I might actually know this, that there is a movie that was made about the worst Christmas song of all time called Christmas Shoes. Do you remember that song?
No.
Oh, Mr. Can you buy these shoes Mr. for my mom who's dying?
It's like, oh, for, yeah, she died in these shoes. Can I please have them?
It's the worst, like, trying to jam lemon in your eyes songs ever. It's this little boy. It's a song about a little boy who, he's at the store and he wants to buy these shoes and he turns to Smith, sir, could you please buy these shoes for my mother? She's dying.
Yes,
and
if you have them, have her wear them, and then in the event of her death, give them back to me.
Oh, don't even put, we're not even time to, the chorus is the most disgustingly kid chorus, gross, played in every life.
Says you. Please give me the shoes off your dead mother. I would like to wear them around my apartment.
Really in the Christmas mood.
Okay, this
can't
is
smell them.
The worst Christmas song ever written.
Little boy, I've never heard waiting it.
Anxiously. Oh, we don't have any time. You got it.
And play with the shoe.
Pair of shoes.
Yes, I like it. Take them off of the cadaver, please.
Oh,
and allow me to sniff. I promise I won't sneeze.
The mom hasn't died yet. There's no cadaver.
Sure, yes, but sure enough, it's going to happen.
For my mama, please. It's Christmas Eve and these shoes are just her size.
I'll be the judge of that.
Could you hurry?
Oh, here it is. She's about to die. Listen.
Daddy says there's not much time.
Where's the chorus?
Right here. This is it.
Okay.
She's been sick for quite a while. I know these shoes will make her smile.
Now, here's the line right here.
One or two look beautiful. If Mama meets Jesus tonight.
Can I have them?
When my mom
croaking, Jesus won't need those shoes.
And at the end, they have the kids sing it, and it's just worst.
It's a wonderful Christmas song. To think of someone dying. All right, we will be right back with Brandon Merriweather.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.